Hare Krishna, Carl. Welcome. Elisa's father is here. Thank you very much, Carl, for coming. It's nice to meet you. My name's Vaisheshika. You can call me Vaish. Did you just come up from Wales? Welcome. And welcome to everybody else from Wales. Let's hear a cheer for Wales. Hare Krishna. Today is a ceremony, Carl, that is meant to embolden the heart, for there are various paths one can follow in this world. One is to try to grab as much as possible and hold on to it in this lifetime. It doesn't always work out. I'd amend that by saying it never works out. As at the end, no matter how successful you are, you have to give it back. And the other is to turn away from the world and say, well, since I have to give it back anyway, I might as well preemptively just opt out now. And that doesn't necessarily work either, because we still have to interact with the world. We have senses, we have needs and desires and so forth. And there's a third path that your son and two other very noble souls, Chaitan and Milan, are taking up today in earnest, which is the path of dedication. Those who dedicate themselves to virtue, those who dedicate themselves to selfless service, are exalted in human society. If we look through history, we find that it's not the despots and the cruel people who are able to wreak havoc upon human society that are celebrated. They're noted with care because we don't want to do what they did, and we try to avoid the situations that bring us to producing such types of people. But the people that are really glorified in society are the ones who truly give of themselves from their hearts to help others. And the meaning of the initiation today is that these three have decided in their hearts that the best path to walk in life is the path of dedication. That way they can see everything in the world as paraphernalia to be used in the service of the divine. And considering that the divine is described as a tree with roots, and when one waters the roots of the tree, then all of the leaves and branches simultaneously and automatically become nourished. So it's a well thought out vow today that these devotees will be making. There are several vows, and the word devotee comes from the Latin devoto, which means one who keeps vows. Vows hold us together in human society. Animals are held more by instinct. They are pre-programmed. There's a chip in their head that says, now it's time to build a dam. And if you bring a beaver home, which I don't recommend, the beaver will tear apart your house and start building dams wherever he can find a space. Can't help it. Human beings can, on the other side, decide which path to take, and that is the beaver thing, right? They can decide which way to take, and they actually can discern that there are inferior sources and superior sources of knowledge. And using the human intelligence, which includes doubting, the doubting process is highly effective for triangulating and finding one's way to a source of knowledge that's infallible. And this is necessary in any discipline. One must have an authority. Otherwise, as Aristotle says, you get infinite regress in life. You have nowhere to stand. You have to accept a given. You have to accept a source of knowledge. So the three initiates today have accepted a reasonable source of knowledge, which they've vetted themselves by hearing it over a long period of time. They've also practiced and seen that they're good for it. They can actually hold up the kinds of vows that they're going to make today, and they've realized, correct me if I'm wrong here in the front row, that that by doing so, they have embettered themselves. It's counterintuitive, but the ways of selfless service bring out the best in us. and the ways of keeping vows, as Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atmavasharavateyatma prasadamarigachati. Keeping sacred vows invites mercy to come down from the Supreme. It's not mechanical, but there's a way in which when we want to prove ourselves to any person, in any relationship we have, and we take the high road in our interactions with them, and there's a way in which that they notice. It just so happens that God is also a person. There's a original source to everything, and because we're persons and we're emanations from that source, we can also logically conclude that the source, our source, has personality as well. And according to our doctrine, the personal aspect of God is the best. Although there are many other features. There's an impersonal feature, which is all-pervasive energy. There's also a localized feature, as we call the spirit within the heart. Where else does our intelligence come from? As if there's a parent in the room, and when we're struggling or when we're trying to figure something out, then we get this sense that someone has given me the way forward. And this is, we call, the super spirit within the heart. And these are all aspects of the same person whom we offer our service to. And we're all parts of that original supreme. Just as sparks are part of a larger fire, we're also spiritual sparks, and we're part of the supreme whole. So the vows that you'll take today are highly significant. According to the process of Vedic practice and knowledge, the Vedas are a huge project. They're meant to envelop all human society and give everyone a chance, according to his or her own position in the world, an opportunity to improve him or herself. And the Vedas, just as a tree, the purpose of a tree ultimately is to produce a fruit. And those who make a study of the Vedas can understand that the ultimate fruit is the name of God. And this is borne out in the teachings of the acharyas. Acharyas mean the noteworthy teachers who have stood up and presented the process in a clear way for mass appeal so that other people can have access to it over time. And they have pointed out that if you look at through all the Vedas, if you search through all the different aspects of it, you'll come to a point in which they're all shining their light on a particular aspect, a particular practice. One of the great acharyas is named Rupa Goswami, and he says, Nikila Shruti Mahali Ratnamala Duti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Ay Mukta Kaleru Pasyamanam Paritastam Harinama Samshrayami. So he concludes, Nikila means all, Nikila Shruti Mahali Ratnamala. So all of the Shrutis, which are the original ancient teachings, which are eternal, they're self-manifested teachings meant to give us the way forward in life, to improve ourselves, to live in the world in harmony, and also to elevate ourselves to our original spiritual position. He says, Nikila Shruti Mauli Ratnamala, that there's a crown on top of the head of all of these teachings. He's giving this metaphor of a crown. And then there's jewels on top of the crown. Nikila Shruti Mauli Ratnamala. Duty, the effulgence of that, of the jewels on that crown, duty nirajita pada pankajanta, they're shining light somewhere. And this great teacher and poet says that they're shining light on the tips of the toes of the holy name of God. And that is a very specific teaching that is brought forward in our line of students who come down from the beginning of creation. And that is that a philosophy, although it may make your head spin if there isn't immediate access, is not worth anything. One must have the philosophy must give an on-ramp for everybody to join it. Otherwise, what's the use of high-minded philosophies? So the Vedas have propounded many different ideas, and the Upanishads are the summation of all those ideas that bring us into the realm of self-realization, distinguishing ourselves from our bodies. Is it possible to get more oxygen in here? Can we get even more of a cross-ventilation? It's a democracy. We can vote on that. So, yeah, you'll see, it's going to be ecstatic. Thank you. Can you feel it? Yeah. Upanishads. So there are gradations of knowledge that offer various entry levels for people in different stations of life. And of course, we may say, I'm very thirsty, please give me some water. I have some, don't worry. I'm just giving an example. And then someone will say, you're thirsty? You can find water in the clouds. Good luck. Someone may say, I'm thirsty, and the person may answer, you can find it in a flash flood. Do you have flash floods here? We have them in California. A downpour somewhere in the mountains or in the desert, and then suddenly you're peacefully sleeping in your tent, and then you're washed away because it appears as a gush of water that runs down. So someone may say, well, just find yourself a flash flood. You can get water. Or someone may say, please give me water. I'm thirsty. And you say, oh, there's water in the ground. Just dig. You can get a glass out of that. So in a similar way, oftentimes we point to our connection with God, and someone will say, well, God's in heaven. So how do I connect with him in heaven? Or someone may say, avatars come from time to time. Maybe you can wait around. Or someone may say, you sit down and meditate for 10,000 years and maybe you can find God within your heart and have some connection there. But in the philosophy taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is based on the authorized teachings of the Vedas, the chanting of the name of God is like water in the palm of your hand. And any time you can say the name of God, and he's immediately present, and we can immediately drink that water to our heart's content. So the poem goes on, Nikila Shruti Mali Damala Jyuti Nirajita Pada Pankajamta I Mukta Kaleru Pasimanam Paritastam Harinama Samshayami. Therefore, he says, all those who are liberated souls, they've gone beyond the concepts of trying to enjoy the world, trying to reject the world, and they've entered deeply within, on the path of dedication to the Supreme. They take up this specific process of repeating the name of God as a way of sacred and immediate connection and communion with the Supreme. And therefore, Rupa Goswami says, take shelter here. This is where to take shelter, because if all else fails, and it will, take shelter of the holy name. One can then fully embrace that, and that's what your vows are meant to do today, to reinforce the idea that the main shelter in life is Krishna, name for the Supreme, which means all attractive, and the main way to stay connected with him constantly is by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I learned this once when I was a brahmachari and I was at the Los Angeles airport distributing books, and I was having not just a bad day, but a bad week and a bad month. And I was really bummed out. So what do you do when you're really bummed out? You call your mom. So I called my mom and I said, hi, how are you doing? She said, wait a minute, how are you doing? I don't like the tone of your voice. Did your mom ever tell you that? I don't like the tone of your voice. And she said, what's the matter? And I said, oh, blah, 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 blah. This, that, this, that. And she said, you listen to me. you get that bag of yours and you put your hand in it and you start chanting. And I was, what? Is that you? And when I hung up, I realized that Krishna had given me a direct instruction through my mother. And later on, when she was leaving the world, I got the opportunity to sit with her all the way to her last breath. And I asked her some questions. I said, you remember that time in the airport I called? Yes. She even saved all my, you know, ribbons I got for skipping in kindergarten. Not skipping kindergarten, for skipping in kindergarten. So she knew immediately. And I said, why did you tell me that? And she said, I saw you cross from the material world and go into the spiritual world. I didn't want you crossing back over again. Everybody knows, from my mom. Thanks, Mom. Everybody knows what's what in this world. We just either admit it or we don't admit it. So today you're admitting it. Material world's a lost cause. I tried. Didn't work out. I'm going to sign a sheet saying I quit. Now I'm going to take from a different angle. I'm going to come from the angle of a servant of God, a servant of all of God's creatures. And I'm going to dedicate my life to this higher way of thinking. And this is praiseworthy. So we congratulate all three of you for coming forward today to take these sacred and very mighty vows. When someone makes a vow, it's a shot heard round the world. We all become re-enlivened and remember the power of dedicating oneself through a vow to the Supreme. So in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, there's two parts. One is to keep your vow and be consistent. And the other is to develop an enlightened attitude. Is my black bag here? I have a paper in it. I'm going to read you an instruction about chanting from Srila Prabhupada. And interestingly enough, our founder Acharya only asked us to do one thing. There are some things he said don't do. Like what? Anyone? Anyone? Yes? Don't what? Yeah, I'm talking about the four regular principles. Don't what? No gambling. And if you want to replace gambling, he said, then surrender to Krishna. Because then you're putting yourself in his hands. Like, okay, Krishna, I know what's going to happen next. There's the same exhilaration as there is in doubling down on a bet. So you're doing that. What else did he say don't do? No intoxication, don't eat meat. Fish and eggs, okay. Anything else? And no illicit sex. So these are four pillars of sinful life in the material world. Everyone works hard for these. And amazingly enough, not only does one who takes these vows and avoids these four sinful pillars survive, but he or she also feels better for it. Isn't that amazing? Because everyone else is advertising and saying, unless you have these four in your life solidly in place and as much as possible, you can't really be happy. But we say that's false. That's a scam. It's a Ponzi scheme. So we're taking the opposite approach. We're contrarians on this and we're standing fast on it. We eschew these ideas of sinful life in the material world. So that's part of it. And then what's the part that Prabhupada said, do? Chant at least 16 rounds. It's a legal term, at least. You can add to any vow. And that gives you the permission to exceed the vow if you wish at some time. So he said, do something and don't do other things. And that's the basis of the vows today. And now I'll read you an instruction Prabhupada gave about chanting the Maha Mantra. This comes from a letter that he wrote on 16th of June, 1969, and I entitled it Determination and Effort. He says, regarding your last question about the ecstatic symptoms of chanting Hare Krishna, you should know that the Hare Krishna mantra has an equal effect upon all devotees. Just like the sunshine has an equal effect on everyone, but when it is covered, the sunshine has a different effect. Similarly, the influence of the Hare Krishna mantra becomes manifest when one is no longer covered by the 10 offenses to chanting. The more we become free from the 10 offenses, the more the effect of chanting becomes manifested through us. Everyone can become a great devotee, being freed from the offenses 100%, simply by one's determination and effort. Any thoughts? Can you give him a microphone, please?
Yeah, so point is to avoid the ten offenses.
What?
Point to avoid the ten offenses.
I still didn't understand what you said. Yes, there are 10 offenses and you're going to avoid them.
Yeah,
is that
so
what you said?
Yeah, so
there's 10 offenses, we should avoid them.
We should avoid 10 offenses.
Yeah. Okay, any other thoughts? Give us your realization. Why are you taking these vows anyway? Avoiding the sinful. I mean, what's your revelation about it?
To be chased towards Krishna.
To be chased towards Krishna. That's nice. There's a way in which when we're in a relationship, if we're exclusive, if we're chaste, it's voting with our feet. It's saying that I'm reforming myself for you, for this relationship, and it's demonstrative, and it's a big deal, right? Good for you, and you. And what's your idea? Let's hear.
Be consistent in devotional service.
You got to touch your chin, otherwise it doesn't count.
Be consistent in devotional service.
That's really nice. What about consistency that helps? Can you give any ideas?
Yeah, consistency will help us to improve. Yeah, consistency will help us to improve, go more closer to Krishna.
Nice. You can't fake consistency, right? In fact, in the famous verse that I can bring up at this time, if I have time, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from his spiritual master, whose name was Srila Ishvara Puripad, and that was at Gaya, and he came back after having been initiated, a changed person. And then he went back to his spiritual master and he inquired from him, did you give me the right mantra? Because the mantra you gave me seems to have made me crazy. I'm crying. I can't stop crying. I sometimes roll on the ground involuntarily. I'm shouting out at... what happened? And his spiritual master then said, now I'll give you a verse which is the essence of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, evam vrtasva priyanama kirtya jatana rago jitachuta uchar hasatyato rotiti rauti gayati unmadavam rititi lokabhayaha. Evam vrta, when one takes a vrat or a vow, it's the same word, Sanskrit and English and Latin, to chant Hare Krishna, then gradually the name will become very dear to one, because there's no difference between Krishna and his name. As the Srimad Bhagavatam opens, there's the verse, apana samsritim goranya nama vivashogranan tata sadyo vimucheta ya bibheti swayambayam. The declaration that there's no difference at all between Krishna and his holy name. All the powers of Krishna are there within his name, his personality, everything complete. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said what in the second verse of the Shikshashtakam about this? Nam nam akari bahudha nija sarva shakti. So he said, nija sarva shakti, all of Krishna's personality, all his personal energies are there within the holy name. So evam vrata swa priya nama kirtya jatanurago. Druta citta means that the heart begins to soften and melt, and one experiences the emotions, spiritual emotions within the heart. We all know we have emotions, but what about spiritual emotions? They're meant for Krishna and for the devotees. And so the heart softens, and one's able to experience these spiritual emotions within the heart. And then one becomes like a person who doesn't care for, not like a person who doesn't care for outsiders, because one is expressing these spiritual emotions in public even. However, in the purport, our acharyas have said not every devotee whose heart has melted shows external symptoms in public. They may hide them. But Madhvacharya then comments that there are two symptoms of someone who's advancing in devotional service that you can't hide. And these, he said, are the only ways by which you can tell if somebody's actually advanced or not. Would you like to know what they are? I tell you, but we ran out of time, and I'm save it for maybe our next trip here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. No. Number one, he said, is steadiness, or as you said, consistency. When you're steady, it means that there's something driving you from the heart. There's a conviction. Dhrita vrata. You've become convinced. Shraddha shabde vishwas kahis. Suridanishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koila Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. This is mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami that when you have a clear idea of why you're doing this, and your conviction is that, and the conviction is there within your heart, he says that Sudrida Manash, your mind becomes very strongly convinced, and then you're consistent in your practice. And the second is called Mukhya Prasadad, which means that whatever you speak is for the benefit of others, because your heart has become good and not envious. So consistency is a good point. So you have to not only keep your vow every day of chanting at least 16 rounds, and you have to also avoid the four pillars of sinful life, but then also you have to become... You have to fortify yourself so that you don't step into any of the offenses against the holy name. And the two most egregious offenses are, number one, offending devotees. So you can make it your career to avoid offending devotees. Don't criticize devotees. You don't have to. You can sign off on it. There's a little sheet you can fill out with a box on it that says, I swear off criticizing devotees, and you just put a little check mark on it. And if someone would like to invite you to criticize devotees, then you can just show them the paper and say, sorry, I already signed off. No can do. Can't help you with that. And also, beware of writing something that might criticize devotees, because once you put something in writing, it's eternal. And you can't ever take it back. People will bring you back the paper and say, look, you did this. So from this day, you have permission, and it's a good idea if you take this deeply within your heart, not to criticize devotees. If you're put in the position of management somewhere and you have to offer some kind of constructive criticism, do so through the lens of Shastra and do it judiciously, very carefully, and make sure that there's no spike of envy in the heart when you speak about devotees. Otherwise, it will hinder your process of chanting Hare Krishna. And the other most egregious of the 10 offenses is to feel entitlement. And that is, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. To feel entitled means that because I am initiated, you can help me fill in some blanks here, because I am liberated, because I am, any more? What? Because I am, because I deserve something more than others. What other ways can make me feel entitled? Because I'm so smart. because I'm very good looking, because what else?
Because I'm senior.
Therefore, because I'm a guru, therefore I can take liberties. So it's better to take the attitude from this day forward that I can't take liberties with anything or anybody. I should act like a humble servant. If I have a role to be a leader, I should be a servant leader and humbly help others. And one should consider that I'm the servant, 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 a million times removed. What is that? Use your hand. It's demonstrative. They do this in the Vedic recitation. The servants, servant, 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 a million times removed. This is a region that is free of the sense of entitlement. As once I feel that I'm entitled, then I can say, well, I can cheat on the four regulative principles because I am a senior devotee, because I am a guru, because I'm a very good looking, I'm wealthy. What else? Anything else? Don't do that. If you avoid those two offenses very carefully, guard against them, then you avoid the two of the worst offenses. The other offenses you can study carefully, and especially the added offense, which is to be inattentive while chanting. If you take that one to heart, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it will help you follow the process of avoiding all the other offenses, because inattentiveness and not acknowledging the holy name when he's present is a cause of offense. The world is in ignorance. That's the problem. It's a pervasive disease. Ignorance means ignorance. And if we ignore Krishna, especially when he's present in his name, then it's a natural offense. Just as if I was talking to you now, and then I started looking at my cell phone, which I'm going to do because I think it's playing something. But I'm happy to say it's Prabhupada chanting japa and not something else. Lucky thing, huh? So don't ignore Krishna. Don't look away. Be fully conscious when you're chanting Hare Krishna. Don't criticize devotees. Don't put it in writing. Try to avoid those who make a living out of criticizing devotees. And if you're ever in management and you have to criticize devotees, be very careful how you do it so that it's non-offensive, so it can be productive and helpful and not in a way that tears them down. Is that agreeable? Also, you have to read Prabhupada's books. Okay? I need a verbal yes, just like in the airplane when you sit in the emergency aisle. They come by and they say, you can't just nod your head. You have to give a verbal yes. Apparently that's a contract. Yes. If you don't read Prabhupada's books every day, you will go insane. I guarantee it. It's impossible to not go insane. If you don't read Prabhupada's books, you can't maintain your equilibrium. So please progressively go through all the Prabhupada's books, make a plan to read them and hear them and be in the association of those who hear and read them. Chant really good rounds. You don't try to be a great devotee, but do try to chant great japa. Don't be embarrassed if you're leaning into your japa and making it really strong. Okay? Hare Krishna. So, what's happening today? I'll just say in a nutshell, this is a ceremony called Harinam initiation. So, there's a process through which we become more and more involved in devotional service. And it's a process of coming closer to Krishna. It starts with turning away from the material world. That's called tapa. We feel less and less optimistic about our chances of success here in the material world, and we want to dedicate ourselves in service. And then comes Pandra, which means that we start showing ourselves externally as Vaishnavas. For instance, this tilak, it's a mark of dedication. We're saying, yes, I'm dedicated to this path that I mentioned before. And then comes Nama. Nama means that you accept a spiritual name. And the most important of your names is Das, I'm not letting anything out of the bag here. Das or Dasi? You already knew that, so it's okay. And that means that we're servants of God. Simultaneously, you accept a vow to chant the name. So this is the phase of initiation called Nama, which you're taking today, a big first step. Then comes mantra. After you've chanted for some time and you're purifying yourself, removing all the trash from your consciousness and becoming more and more dedicated, you can accept the esoteric mantras, which are like sonic deities that are passed down to us. And then you can enter into a more personal relationship with Krishna, hearing about his qualities, features, and so forth. All that will be revealed by chanting Hare Krishna, but this is an aid to bringing us closer. The two are synergistic, the nama and the mantra, the diksha mantras that you'll get sometime after this, not today. And then finally, there's deity worship. That's once you take your mantra diksha, then you're able to dress the deity and take part in worshiping the form, attending to the form of the Lord. As